Hey, new patient group and Right Chat Nation, welcome inside the broadcast booth. Brian right here, and welcome into the sixth episode of Season 7, Episode 99 overall, the new patient group podcast. Hope you're doing great out there. As part of our new format, if you've checked the last two podcast episodes, we're doing them more frequently. We're really going to shake it up with more guests. We're going to be doing more. Once a quarter, I'm actually going to be doing a national fireside webinar. And we just had our first one a couple weeks ago. And what I'm doing with those is I'm going to incorporate those into a podcast. All right. Those will be a little bit longer because those are national webinars. And I'm going to repurpose that in the YouTube station for New Patient Group and for other company Right Chat. But we're also going to be doing those as an audio experience, audio podcast as well. So today, what you're going to be hearing is our very first one that we did a couple weeks ago with Dr. Bob Skopak and myself. He and I have been through a long journey together, both him and I personally, but also just obviously the companies he uses. Is he's a longtime New Patient Group and Right Chat customer. And we talked about something called Blue Ocean Orthodontics. If you are not familiar with the Blue Ocean book, it's a very interesting book. It talks about how to create an environment, a business within a commodity or any type of business for that matter, whether you're in a commodity or not. And how do you create something that has no competition? How do you attract a consumer that otherwise would never buy your product or your service? And how do you bring them into your business when other practices, other businesses, other environments can't? We also talked about just achieving a vision. So many of you out there is going to be lots of podcasts over the course of time about the importance of a vision, how you achieve a vision, and what happens to you when you don't have a vision. And so many of you out there as business owners, you struggle with this short-term thinking. You go to an event, you buy 10 things, and then you come back, you go to another event, you buy 6 things. You hear one speaker on stage talk about something that when they may not even run the business model you want, they may want something completely different out of their business, their life, etc. But you go and you grab and you do what they say. It's because you have no vision. And you've always got to be able to relate your decisions back to the vision. You've got to be able to have a vision and then go out and find the companies and the tools that are going to help you achieve that vision. If those companies and tools do not help you achieve your vision, you should not buy them, right? If they do help you achieve your vision, you should buy as many of them and invest in as many of them as you possibly can. So we talked about the importance of a vision. We also talked about the journey of outsourcing, because it is a journey. There are some pain points along the way. And even once you get through it, there's some more pain points. But the pain points are significantly different than how so many of you run your practices now, with the unnecessary chaos, the turnover, the staff headaches, the HR headaches. And also in terms of growth does not have to be as difficult as a lot of you make it. It was a great webinar, and I'm so glad that we repurposed it into a podcast and happy to get this rolling. So let's get started with the intro music, and then we're going to fire up that podcast and that webinar following the intro. Hope everybody enjoys it. Have a great day.
Welcome aboard the New Patient Group flight deck. Less chaos. Check. Less stress. Check. Less advertising costs. Check. More personal and financial freedom. Ah. Check. All right. Business checklist completed. Let the takeoff roll begin.
Welcome to Season 7 of the New Patient Group Audio Experience, a podcast dedicated to forward-thinking doctors wanting to learn innovative ways to run their business today so your practice can achieve new heights tomorrow. And now your host, he's the founder and CEO of New Patient Group, managing partner of Right Chat, and a trusted motivational speaker for Invisalign, OrthoFi, and others, Brian Wright.
My name is Brian Lewis. I'm the VP of Sales here at Right Chat. And I'm so excited for what is, you know, sure to be, you know, really fun and insightful conversation and candid conversation between, you know, two really incredible, incredibly successful, innovative and forward-thinking minds. Brian Wright and Dr. Bob Skopak. For those of you that know Brian Wright, you know that he's truly a visionary in every sense of the word. He's the founder and CEO of New Patient Group and the managing partner of Right Chat. And I know that I can, you know, really speak for our entire team when I say that, you know, he's an amazing and inspiring leader, and his passion and dedication for our clients is really unparalleled. I know we have a lot of clients that are on here with us tonight, so thank you for being here with us. A lot of non-clients as well, so that's awesome. I know that you know, carving out time from your day, and so we really appreciate you being on with us. If you've ever, you know, listened to his podcast or heard him speak at, you know, the AAO annual meeting or Orthopreneurs, you know, OrthoVise Nexus meeting, or whether it's for Align Technology, Dental Monitoring, Henry Schein, or really any other countless industry meetings that he's spoken at, you can't help but be inspired. He's, you know, incredible passion for helping practices, you know, create a vision and then execute that vision. By really creating an environment that makes, you know, your practice unique and really, you know, truly stand out from your competition. So I'm excited. He's, you know, close friend of mine. I've known for a really long time. I've known Dr. Skopec for a long time as well. And I'm excited to be here tonight and excited to have you guys on here with us. So, you know, Brian, I'm going to hand over to you to introduce Dr. Skopec and get us kicked off here. So if you guys have questions, we are going to field some questions. So submit any questions you want during the, you know, again, this is a pretty candid conversation. So if you have questions, submit them into the chat or the question box that you'll see on Zoom. And then we'll field those questions kind of throughout the, you know, throughout the webinar. And if we can't get to them at the end, we'll obviously make sure that we use them in some follow up with you to get any questions answered. So definitely, you know, this is like I said, really candid, kind of engaging conversation. So submit questions, you know, grill these guys, you know, they have, if you have questions on how to run your practice or what they're doing or their vision, you know, fill up that chat box in the question Q&A for us so we can use it. So over to you, Brian. Thank you guys again for being here tonight.
All right. Thanks for that great intro, B. Lewis, and welcome everybody into the first fireside chat, CEO fireside chat, that is. And I'm going to be bringing in the great Dr. Bob Skopec here momentarily. It's going to be great. You know, this is the very first one of several that we're going to be doing about once every 3 or 4 months and just bringing in different forward thinkers, most of the time ones that we currently work with in some form or fashion. And that way we know that they're on the same page with us and vice versa. And tonight's going to be great. We're going to dive into a very unique topic that probably nobody on here has heard before. So really looking forward to it. I want to first give a shout out. So OrthoFi, they sponsored last month's New Patient Group podcast, and they're also kind enough to sponsor this first fireside chat tonight. So I want to say thank you to OrthoFi. We're going to be talking about them several times tonight, just organically, and how they have impacted Dr. Bob Skopec's practice and different ways that he utilizes that one tool to help him carry out his vision. And on a vision, we're going to be talking a lot about the importance of having a vision tonight and important how you have to first have that in order to know what tools work for you or what will work for you. And OrthoFi has been a great tool for Bob Skopec's practice and so many of our other new patient group and Right Chat customers. I want to announce there's a onboarding customer offer that OrthoFi has for all of you tonight, and that is $3,500 off your onboarding. Just make sure that you mention that you heard about that you heard about it through Dr. Bob Skopec and myself from this fireside chat. And what you're also going to get with that is 1 month free of Right Chat. That is a service that answers your new patient calls for you. All of them are as a backup, so you'll get a month free of that and a free full online marketing audit from my other company, New Patient Group. So I really want to say thank you to OrthoFi. I'm a big believer. Dr. Jamie Reynolds, their founder, is a customer of New Patient Group and Right Chat. We just have a wonderful relationship. Dave, their CEO, I believe in heavily. So thanks again to OrthoFi. And then also this is going to go on our YouTube station, and we're going to have a pre-AAO course. So the Friday before AAO starts, Oliver from OrthoFi and myself are going to be doing about a 4-hour workshop. And I very much encourage, if you're already going to AAO, get yourself signed up for that. Bring your whole team. There's going to be a lot of innovative talk there. And look forward. That's something we've done the last few years. And every time they've gone really well. So click that link that we'll have in the description of this on our YouTube station. And we could put it in the chat forum as well, maybe throughout, so you guys can grab it and get signed up for it. So all that homework is done, and I want to introduce a good friend of mine and somebody that, gosh, we've been on a journey together for a very long time in various formats. And my personal favorite thing in this business, I'm not a big fan of the sales part, convincing people to buy, but I'm a huge fan of the relationships and getting to know people's families and just the stories and everything. So I'd like to introduce a very innovative thinker and a good friend of mine, Dr. Bob Skopec. Welcome in, buddy.
Phil, thank you. Appreciate it. It's fun to be here. Cheers.
Now,
Cheers.
What he's not telling you, he still has patients in the clinic, so he's going to have to be leaving, going back and forth here.
Only two more. It'll be fine.
All right, only two more. All right. Yeah, it's no big deal. But cheers, everybody. You know, these fireside chats are meant to be engaging, obviously, but also relaxed. You know, if you want to have a cocktail, pop open a beer and join with us. Every 3 months, we're going to be doing this. But welcome in, man. Let's dive in. You want to share your screen?
I would love to.
And I've got I was talking about the AAO pre-course there. And so a few years ago, Bob and I did it together. And I'll never forget this the rest of my life. And welcome in, everybody, to the Blue Ocean Orthodontics. And if you see in red there, the WTF, I have no idea what that means. Bob, can you tell me what that means?
Yeah, no, it's bullshit. You're lying. You know what that means. So, do you want to say it or do you want me to? I'm going to say it because I got to tell
this story. So a few years ago, we're doing this pre-AAO course together, and I go and I say my thing or whatever, and then I bring him up on stage. And the very first slide, am I allowed to tell this? The very first slide he has, and it was Jessica, right? Pulling on your pant legs?
It was both of them, yeah.
It was both of them?
Both
yeah,
kids.
So both his daughters are pulling on his pant leg, and you know, he basically apologizes to the audience in the beginning and says, you know, I kind of cuss a lot, and you know, the first time I found out about that was, you know, when my daughters were three or whatever they were, and they were pulling on my pant legs, and I looked down, I said, "What?" And they looked up at me and they said, "Daddy, what the fuck are you doing?"
that's close enough. That's pretty close, but yeah.
Yeah, it's close enough, right?
So I did. I taught my kids the F-bomb without trying to teach my kids the F-bomb. Yeah, I just do it. So I'll apologize, I guess, first, because I probably will drop a couple. It just happens. I don't mean to. I don't mean to offend anybody, but yeah.
Well, that's just the way it's going to be. I think it makes you a real person. That's why I love you. So dive in. Let's talk about Blue Ocean Orthodontics, and let's get this baby rolling.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, today we're going to talk about Blue Ocean Orthodontics, which is a concept and a principle. And it's the concept and the principle behind Clearcut. We opened Clearcut Orthodontics a little over a year ago, separate from Scopec Orthodontics. Clearcut is 100% Invisalign, remote monitoring, and outsourcing. And I always, always want to say this before I ever talk anywhere. Is that, you know, Brian and I love talking with Brian. We're going to use the word profit, business, sales all night long. But the fundamentals and first and foremost, we need to be doctors. We need to diagnose, treatment plan, and execute orthodontics better than any other entity. And please don't misinterpret me that I've lost that. That is our foundation. Now, being an orthodontist, any orthodontist that complains ever about being an orthodontist, I want to smack. It is the best profession ever. It's a phenomenal life. It's a phenomenal career for us, for our teams, and for our patients. And I'm going to give a very quick shout out to these two, and I'm not going to give their names, but I know they're watching right now, and they're probably not going to speak to me for putting their pictures up. These two are getting together this weekend, and they've been in orthodontics for nearly a century between the two of them. They don't look that old. But they have spent, what did I do? They have spent nearly a century.
Your internet okay? You there?
Yeah, I got it. Got it? We good?
Yeah, we good. We can see it.
And it's a phenomenal career again for all of us. It's great. So hang on, I lost.
Am I allowed to say their names?
You can if you want.
Well, are they gonna yell at me too?
Oh Carla? Yeah, they'll be mad. Oh yeah, they'll yell at you.
Carla, hello.
Yeah. So the other slide I feel is important to put up is I think anyone that gets in front of you and says anything, you need to know if we're getting paid for this or not. I consider myself a KOL for these two companies. They're both my companies. Started Scopec Orthodontics in 2000, and again, we started Clearcut in 2022. This is sponsored by OrthoFine Right Chat. I'm not getting a cut of that sponsorship. And I think I paid full price. I don't think I got the discount when I onboarded with OrthoFine 2018. So I am not selling you anything. I am not biased, but I'm happy to talk about companies that I use and are important in my system. So the absolutely short version of my life and my career and my practice, this was me in 2000 when we were a startup. I was Invisalign certified in 2000. I got myself in the business section, which was very cool. And we went from that to this in 10 years. So this is me 10 years later. We had a nice, busy, successful practice, lots of team, lots of patients. And this is 2015, and we're starting to reduce the team a little bit. I'm ramping up the technology. I'm ramping up the share of chair with the aligners, and we're cutting down on the team a bit. This is us heading into the pandemic. And Madison, who's in front, I think was 19 at this point. So she was just starting out. So it's basically two and a half of us. And we had more than double the top line revenue with these two and a half, three guys than we did in 2010 with all those people in the red pig, in the red shirts. And the point, the only point of showing you guys those pictures and that evolution is that you have to figure out what you want. I spent plenty of years, you know, at lunch, at AAO meetings, pounding my chest because I had a big chest or because I had a big staff. I was busy all day. You know, it was crazy. But what do you want? I never wanted that. I wanted to have a very efficient, very lean, very low stress practice and business. And the key to that is once you figure out what you want and what your vision is, the first step is creating a business model to support that. It's not buying widget A or widget B or company X or company Y. The first step is creating a business model to support what you want and what your vision is. And the three big changes I've made to my business model the last 10 years, I consider myself a clear aligner orthodontist. Clearcut is 100% Invisalign. Scopec Orthodontics is 97%. We provide our patients with Scopec Remote, which provides convenient communication channels, remote monitoring. Our big widget there is dental monitoring. And I outsource everything that does not impact clinical care and does not impact relationship building. Now, in that, OrthoFi, RightChat are key components of people I outsource to, among others. So, Brian, anything there?
Yeah, for sure. I want to talk about going back to the business model, finding the tools to support it, creating a vision. So one of the things so many of you, and hello to the customers that are on. I didn't say that in the beginning. Thanks for being part of the family. For you watching, this isn't as much directed to as it is the non-customers. There is a real problem in orthodontics with people that own their own business. And honestly, this is a problem. And if you went in and helped restaurants or a plumber, for that matter, it's a problem everywhere. But so many of you out there, you'll go to an event and you'll see some speaker on stage and you'll say, oh, I like that idea. And you buy seven things at the event, come back, it lasts 3 months because the speaker does not represent the model you want to create. And then what happens? You quit it. And then you go to another event, another speaker, and you go and you buy eight things there. And you're all over the place. And then you buy maybe a dental monitoring, you know, or an OrthoFi as an example. And maybe it doesn't work. And you say, ah, that tool stinks. When in reality, it's you. You don't have a vision in a created business model. First, you're trying to go out and do everything he just said, pick the widgets, pick that, pick this, and then just try to throw it into a practice on the fly. You've got to start with a vision. And I want to talk about that here for a little bit, because without it, none of you listening will ever stick with anything if you don't have a vision and a defined business model. Talk about that.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that a little bit while.
Because while you're pulling, I mean, because there was so much time. I wish I had the picture of you and I, you know, cheering wine glasses in your basement. But he and I spent so much time, and he was doing this well before me. But, you know, when we came aboard and met each other, I think in 2018, 19, right in there, we spent so much time redefining job descriptions and reimagining. Yeah, you back? You good?
Yeah, I'm back. I had technical problems. Yeah, I'm good.
That's all right. It was that beer. So he told me earlier that every time he takes a sip, he's gonna turn off his camera.
Yeah.
But the point is he worked his butt off
you know, to go through the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, because, you know, when he talks about this and I go around the country talking about this, it's not all roses. You know, it's not like you're going to do it and tomorrow everything's great. So I want you to talk to them about, you know, the vision, the business model, and some of the pain points that you had to get to the other side.
Well, absolutely. One of the challenges is, first of all, you have to sacrifice your profitability and your EBITDA for a certain amount of time. Everything I've really done to get to here, I've had to take 2 steps backwards to take 10 steps forward. And that's the hard part with the vision. 2018, I started with OrthoFi, dental monitoring, and I ramped up from probably 30% to 70% share of chair with Invisalign. And all of a sudden we had credit card balances again. And my wife's like, why do we have credit card balances again? We haven't had credit card balances for 10 years. Why do we have credit card balances? So yes, there was a valley of death for me to get through this. But on the other side, I was starting to burn out after 15 years or so of seeing 80 to 100 patients a day, sitting at the chair, you know, leaning over, gluing stuff on, re-gluing stuff on. So I just wanted something different at the end. And you're always going to have to sacrifice to get there. But if you have the vision to get there, you will eventually. And you have to know what the end point is, at least approximately what the end point is. Too many people, again, like you said, they'll buy this product or that product and hope it does something. But you have to know what that something is and where you want to go. But yeah, there's a lot of work to get there, and there's a lot of turmoil to get there, and there's a lot of days where I felt like an idiot, and there's a lot of days where I wasn't sure if it was going to work. And it surprises me more people actually won't just do that and get through that, because quite honestly, again, back to the orthodontist thing, we're all orthodontists, we're all smart people. There's not, you know, 10 million orthodontists in the world. I mean, it's we can have whatever we want in this world if we know what we want with our business.
When he said everybody, he took 2 or 3 steps back in order to move forward 10 steps. That's when so many in this profession, and again, not just this profession, but we're talking to this profession, so we'll leave it at ortho. So many of you quit the second it gets tough. You know, the second the Invisalign bill gets too high, or a new patient group sends you a bill you don't like, or Right Chat or OrthoFi, whatever it may be. And if you don't always have a vision and an endpoint that you can go back to, you will quit. It's almost guaranteed that you will quit. And he did a fantastic job constantly during those times where the credit card debt came up. And then, hey, you don't want Stephanie yelling at you. So I can attest to that. So you got Stephanie yelling at you. You know, it takes some you-know-whats to stick with that vision and know that it's going to come out on the other side. And this model flat out works, but there's a process to get to it. I'd like you to talk, this is kind of off the cuff here, but, you know, one of the signs, everyone listening, that you have a good rep, Invisalign rep, OrthoFi, DM, whatever it may be. I have a podcast coming about this exact topic, is what's a true sign that you have a rep that really you can trust. And it's a rep, just like what we do, is that, yeah, do I want to sell Right Chat or new patient group? Of course. But if you're a practice that needs OrthoFi today, as an example, that's what I'm going to talk you into. You know, if you're a practice that remote monitoring is a big need right now, that's where you start. Everyone, you're all on your own journey. And these outsource partners, you have to strategically pick based on what you need today, right? And it's got to go back to the vision. And I think you did a great job. We met in what, 19 or was it 18?
It was like 19, yeah.
It was at PDW in Chicago, right?
Yeah, because it was right after I started with dental monitoring and OrthoFi and was ramping up. Yeah.
So what was the order? So you went OrthoFi and then DM, or you went DM and then OrthoFi?
They were basically the same time. I can't remember which was which, but they were within a couple months of each other.
Okay. And then you went new patient group in 19, and then that's kind of when... I don't remember the day, but that's kind of eventually in that relationship, you're like, screw it, we're going all Invisalign, right? So Invisalign was kind of the fourth.
I mean,
you were already doing it, but it was kind of the fourth, I'm going all in.
Yeah, we were 2017, 2018 is when I had a big valley of death as we were ramping up. And that's part of the problem, I think, with the technology and with the aligners, is the hardest part for me was when you start to hit 50, 60, 70% aligners. And that's where most people quit because you're starting to do a lot and it sucks. And my accountant started asking me, you know, what's this extra $500,000 in lab bill on your P&L? That sucks. That's hard.
Yep.
But you got to get over that up into the 80, 90 plus percent. But no, that was, 2019, it was starting to come together. And it was really starting to come together great when COVID hit, which helped me a lot because what people tried to transition into with COVID and try to do with COVID, we were doing already. So we just kept perfecting it and keep doing what we needed to do with it.
Hey, B. Lewis,
I just want to jump in here with we got a question from Nathan Hoffman. Do you think demographics affect the possibility for this aligner, remote monitoring business model? And if so, what should the demographics be?
All right. Here's a very interesting answer because I've thought about this and looked at this for a long time. My main office, Scopec Orthodontics, is in, well, Brian, you've been there. It's a upper middle class to affluent suburb. It's a beautiful suburb, and we've had a great practice there. I opened Clearcut in a far northwestern suburb of Chicago that is solid middle class. We treat a lot of teachers, nurses, police officers, and there's no big presence of an Invisalign orthodontist in this area. That's why I picked it demographically. I want, you can't, obviously you need people that can't afford at least to fix their teeth, but I believe teachers, policemen, nurses have plenty of money to afford that if they want it. The key is getting them to want it. And the key is becoming the right fit for them, which is what we'll talk about with the Blue Ocean stuff. But I think solid middle-class areas where there's no big Invisalign presence, that's my demographic I'm going after.
Let me touch on this too from a different angle, because I agree with what he just said 100%. And the question may have been, so there is a reality and the stats prove it. You know, if you're in a Hispanic population, African-American, let's take them too for a second. They very much want braces. I have several friends and customers that are, an African-American orthodontist, that may have the majority of their patients are Black or a Hispanic orthodontist, that kind of thing. And they very much want braces because it's a status symbol. And they want people to know that they had the money to pay for orthodontics. That's just a statistical fact. However, and whether your question was related more to that or what Bob just answered, you still have to understand that there's a process, that there's somewhat of a scam, not a scam, but there's somewhat this deal where it's like, okay, I want to be an Invisalign practice or whatever the heck clear aligner you want to do. You think it just magically is going to happen. And that's where you've got to go back to. There's no instant gratification, right? Your digital marketing, but first of all, your culture and your leadership in the office to set the direction has got to be in place. Your digital marketing has got to have a message. Your receptionist have to have a message. The patient experience, the digital workflow. There are ways to get people who want braces today and flip them into Invisalign or another type of clear aligner. But it's not just a magic click of the button that's going to happen tomorrow. It's a process. Like Bob, and he can attest to this. I mean, his digital marketing was completely redone. You know, we worked our butts off together inside the practice on, the sales and all the aspects that it takes to get people to do clear aligners. And yes, in certain areas, is it easier? Absolutely. But I think you could have this type of practice anywhere that has any kind of money whatsoever, as long as you have that consumer journey set up in a way that's going to drive people towards clear aligners.
And let me add this to that question. Within the last probably 2 years now, we charge more for braces. We've become so efficient with the aligners, with the remote monitoring, we add an extra $950 for braces. So given that, that has also helped us in honestly every demographic.
Yep. How many times do you get the old, and everyone, hopefully you just heard what he said, because at minimum, braces should be priced the same as Invisalign. Invisalign should not be more expensive. I get the whole, I got to cover my lab fee, but that's a backwards way of thinking. Because when they come to your practice, what do they already think? They already think aligners are more expensive than braces. Why? Well, that's because their other two opinions, that's how they have it priced. So they already have that in their head. So you've got to be able to be the practice that surprises them, you know, whether it's their first opinion or you're their third. And the aligners have got to be at minimum price the same or in what he just said, less. And you'll have a surprising result if you do that.
And back to the pain part of it. When I do that, I get such a big discount now because we're the top level provider. When you're not the top level and you're working your way up, that's more difficult because your lab fee is quite a bit higher. So it does get easier over time because of that too.
And this again goes back to, you have to have a vision to come back to, otherwise you'll quit. I actually, and then we'll dive into the Blue Ocean. Align has me in Salt Lake in April to talk about this exact topic. But the reality is, everybody, you can't run an analog based practice and make money with aligners. You can't have, and that's why I think sometimes the 40, 50, 60% share to chair range is so hard, because you still have to have a large team to support the braces that still exist. Right. And that's a lot of you out there, you know, you're analog based, you don't scan with the iTero. You've got a huge team, and then you try to take this clear aligner journey and you give up. And you've got to reimagine everything that goes on in your practice for this to be successful.
Right.
You want to share? You want to dive in?
Yeah, I do. I'm chomping at the bit to dive in on this.
You should just leave that slide up all night. Is it not working for you?
No, it's working fine. It just sucks because I have to go between things. So Blue Ocean, again, the Blue Ocean, I'm starting to call it that just because it's a concept. And it really, honestly, it was inspirational to me. Blue Ocean Orthodontics comes from this book. This book came out about 20 years ago. It's Blue Ocean Strategy. It talks about, as the tagline says, creating uncontested market space, making the competition irrelevant. It's not about competing with the guy down the street by doing stuff a little bit better. It's about creating an entirely new market. And that's what I want to talk about, is kind of the inspiration and now how we're executing that a bit in Clearcut, because this 100% aligner concept is really Blue Ocean stuff. I'm not competing with anybody on this. Some obvious principles. Did you guys lose me on my camera?
No, you're good. All right, we can hear you.
All right, good. Some obvious principles from this that made sense to me. You want to maximize your opportunity, minimize your risk. That's obvious. This one's obvious to me. I'm not sure it's obvious to everyone else, but you know, value innovation does not equal technology innovation. This is, again, where people go to a meeting, you listen to a KOL or you listen to a rep about all the bells and whistles and all this cool stuff, but you really need to figure out how you're going to make your customers' lives better, how you're going to give them value, how you're going to make it simpler, more convenient, more fun. And that's not the same as technology. What incredible value do you bring to your customers? And the worst words ever in business, I think we've always done it that way. But there's this whole concept of value curve, and there's other names for it, but they talk about value curve in this book. And what you want to do is look at industry standards. Look at how everybody else does it. How is everybody else doing everything out there? And then you either want to reduce things you can reduce. You want to raise parts of that should be raised. You want to get rid of stuff that you don't need. And then you want to create new components to that. And if you look at your industry with these four concepts in mind, it can be life-changing for what you do to the business.
Well, few things on that. Your camera's off. I don't know if you know.
I was. I'm going to try and get that.
You taking another sip?
No.
No. You know what we forgot to do? What? We forgot to say hi to John White. You're going to give a shout out. Hey, buddy.
I hope he's on. It was funny this morning. John sent me a little pep talk. He texted me a little pep talk. and which was awesome. I love John. He's obviously one of my heroes with Invisalign. He is the pioneer with Invisalign. So he texts me this morning. He goes, "So I'm going to listen to you guys tonight. So make sure you don't fuck it up." And I'm like, "Okay,
hey, that was your first F bomb."
It relaxed me. It made me feel great. You know, so thanks, John. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for the support.
That was
awesome.
No, that was great.
He used to talk to me all the time, but I don't know. He doesn't talk to me. Yeah. So I don't know. Thanks, buddy. And that was your first F-bomb, and you can blame that one on him. So you're clean.
There you go.
You're still good.
Let's
chat about a few things. So there is a real problem in this profession. Again, if you went in, and thankfully I've had the opportunity to help restaurants and other businesses too, and I think it brings a unique perspective inside the ortho industry, because the majority of what goes on in a practice is the same that goes on in a restaurant. And every business has a, what is the guy down the street or the girl down the street, what are they doing problem? And in this industry, if you spend so much time worried about the person down the street, the business down the street, that if you just spent that same attention and you looked at yourself as the only competition, and you were constantly trying to improve things for the customer or the patient, bettering yourself as a leader, training your hourly employees who are in a sales role. I know that may sound dirty to some, but the reality is you can't hide it anymore. When people shop, your hourly employees better damn well know how to sell. And hourly employees do not come with those skill sets. And if you have a kick butt digital marketing presence, your culture is amazing, and you train your team in a unique way, and you create a business model that is unique to really any profession, obviously still in the ortho world, you have nothing else to worry about. Is there going to be times where you have down years? Of course. Are those down years going to hurt? Yeah, but your down years are going to be less than other people's, and your up years are going to be way more. And that's something he's talking about with the blue ocean concept, is worrying about yourself and creating something that no one else would even think of to capture consumers out there that want it, but they're not going to buy from the people that exist now. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and it's so cool. I mean, orthodontics, there's so many opportunities in orthodontics, and there's not going to be one great successful model. There's no question. I mean, you know, there's going to be the corporate, you know, 100 patients a day, 200 patients a day model. That's awesome. There's going to be the little guy that wants to have two or three chairs and do a few starts here. That's awesome. There's going to be people that love braces and they just want to do braces, whether it's digital braces, whether it's indirect bonding, you know, self-ligating, whatever. That's awesome. There's going to be this whole customer segment that wants aligners. And if you create, I'm creating that brand. I don't want to be the jack of all trades and be everything to everybody. If you're everything to everybody, you're competing with everybody. If you have your own distinct brand, you have your own blue ocean of this whole customer segment that's not going to go anywhere else because they want to come to your brand.
Steph, we got a question.
You do have a question from Dr. Reed. It says, can you tell me the frequency you see Invisalign patients throughout treatment? I do 15 to 18 stages before seeing them again. Do you tend to go longer than that because of dental monitoring, or do you do something similar while using dental monitoring?
We give patients all the trays we have. I did these numbers about a year ago. We see our average number of appointments per patient is 5.5 in-person appointments. So we will give them, there's literally people I don't see for a year. We'll give them the whole box. We watch them on monitoring. We communicate with them. But the key with that is again, like Brian, you talked about a little like the verbiage. And the whole mindset. I mean, when we get people going in Invisalign, we'll say, and we're going to have you, we have this really cool app, we call it Scopec Remote, and we have them scan it, and we check up on them once in a while. So even though we don't see them in 12 to 15 weeks, we're sending them videos, we're sending them text saying, hey, you're doing awesome, we're watching your stuff. But we will give people up to a year's worth of stuff without seeing them back in person.
So. This is a good topic. And this is one of these audience out there, when he and I get going, this is something that, you know, we could do a 25 part series and still have more to talk about. So a couple biases that exist in this profession that have no factual basis. One, you are not ruining the patient relationship by using remote monitoring. So how he just described it, you are not ruining it. as long as whenever they do show up, your team knows how to build and keep the relationship. Your thoughts on that one?
Okay, so if I can interrupt you there, not only are you not ruining it, but I feel that we are enhancing the patient relationship.
Yep.
And that's our goal with it. You know, when we onboard someone, you know, we do the Invisalign start, we've now, our scripting is at the end, somebody will say, you know, and remember, my name is Madison. And if you have any questions, you can contact me directly through the app. You know, it increases that connection. We make every effort we can to have whoever started that person communicate with that person so they have a relationship with us. And that's something I don't outsource. I do not outsource the people that are going to do the monitoring of the treatment. We do the monitoring. We build the relationship. And I think it enhances the relationship if you use it and if you do it correctly and consistently.
Yeah, and that's one of those, you got to use the tool right, everybody. So, I mean, and I know he agrees with this. We view DM and others as a communication platform, right? Really nothing more, nothing less. It's a communication platform that allows you to enhance relationships. It improves the clinical result, blah, blah, blah. But you got to use it. You know, if you're just letting people rot there for a year, of course it's going to hurt relationships. But it's a way to communicate. And this goes into the how do you reduce the headaches, reduce. And again, it's not about firing anybody, but people leave, right? And sometimes you do have to fire them too, but unfortunate things happen. If you train your patient to communicate within that platform, guess what happens? The receptionist isn't up front doing this crap all day long. Or if you have an emergency and they end up showing up and it's not an emergency, you end those. And you streamline so many things at the front desk. This is how why every aspect of your business, your practice, nothing stands by itself, right? Your existing patient experience affects your new patient experience, vice versa. List goes on and on and on. Everything you do and touch affects and dominoes into other areas. And it's a communication platform that absolutely builds relationships. And the other piece that I want you to hit on is that there is a huge bias in this industry. And I know some of you out there are thinking it right now. Oh my God, you give them all the clear liners up front. What if they don't pay? And there is zero data in orthodontics that says, one, if you extend payments beyond treatment time, which we're going to touch on affordability versus cheapness here in a little bit, but there is no data that if you extend beyond treatment time or give them all the aligners up front that they're not going to pay. And in fact, OrthoFi's got data that says that people default after paying about $2,400 down, and I think it's within the first 4 to 6 months of treatment. So you have no fear of giving them out all the aligners, extending payment plans. If you do, it's pure bias. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and it's interesting with, and one of the things with OrthoFi is it's very easy to track the data and track the numbers. And I've spent some time with Oliver in the last month or so, and I still honestly don't exactly understand how it works, but I know it works for me. And he tried to explain where I'm at and how it works for me. But we literally, people can construct their own payment plan. There's literally an infinite number of payment plans. When I give the fee to the TC, she hands the tablet to the patient, and they can choose down payments. They can choose their monthly, whatever they want to choose. Now, my average down payment is about 1.5 times my Invisalign fee. And that's without asking for it or without demanding it. That's just them choosing what they want to choose. So we really don't have a problem getting that. You know, and our collections are 99%, and we can check that again. That's the whole OrthoFi thing. I let their stuff work. So we really put the patient in complete control of what they want to do. Again, we're in a middle class area, a solid middle class area. If anybody's going to ask, you know, demographics, again, we're not in, you know, a poor area, but we're not in an affluent area out here. It's solid middle class. And we get plenty of down payment, and our collections are fantastic. And I just let the system work.
And the key, what he just said at the end, was let the system work. You know, whether you're using, we'll just use RightChat as an example. We have so many customers that try to control how my agents are taught to speak. And I tell them all, no, our agents are going to speak the way I teach them, because that way it's going to work for you, right? You've got to let us do our thing. It's the same thing with OrthoFi. The reason why OrthoFi works so well in so many practices is because those practices trust the system and let OrthoFi do what they do. They do not manipulate the payment slider. They do not change a bunch of stuff that OrthoFi wants to do. And this is the same way with MPG. It's the same way with Invisalign, same way with DM. If you don't use it right, and many of you have this problem, you'll go to an event and you'll buy dental monitoring and you'll say, okay, I just want to dabble in it. I want to try. You're going to fail. And one of the things he did, as good as anyone I've ever seen, is that he went all in with all these companies, OrthoFi, DM, Invisalign, New Patient Group, RightChat. He let the company do what they do best. It doesn't mean that he didn't pay attention and he's not involved. That's not the case at all. But he didn't try to mess with it. And he trusted the system, and the system works unless you screw with it. Your thoughts on that?
And here's where I'd say, yes, I trust the system as long as my vision and my big picture goals are being achieved. So I give away the minutiae and I don't worry about the minutiae, but I do have my big picture goals very well defined. And I do look at my vision very clearly. And I have fired companies more than once if that's not getting achieved. So,
but that's for the right reasons. If you fire a company because it's like a basketball, you general manager owner hires a basketball staff and they have a job for as long as the vision of the owner and the general manager are being carried out year after year, right? And for so many of you out there, I don't know why you do this. You work with a consultant for a year and then you work with another one for a year and then you work with another. It's the dumbest. It doesn't make any sense. You've got to find the pieces to the puzzle that help you carry out your vision, and you've got to stick with it. And the stickiness is the hardest part because it's not instant gratification. B. Lewis, Steph, we got a question?
Yeah, so we got a question from Grant Duncan here. This question is about in-house monitoring. Likes the idea, they do some outsourcing, but is it your clinical team member doing the treatment, the one who also does the communications? So like, how does that process work? Like, is it clinical doing communications to the patient? What's your process at ClearCut and ScopeX?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm honored that Grant's on the call. So thank you.
Yeah. Hey,
thank
buddy.
You. That's awesome.
Yeah, how you
thank
doing,
you.
Dude?
We make every effort. Again, that whoever spends, because we don't skimp on the time with an Invisalign start. We spend a good hour placing attachments, giving instructions, getting them onboarded with dental monitoring. We do not rush that. And yes, we make every effort that person builds a relationship with that patient, parents, whatever it would be, and that they follow up with it. Everybody can do dental monitoring. Everybody can take care of it and follow it up. I mean, if somebody's on vacation, everybody does just fine with it. But we try to get that face with it. And the thing that's really helped us with dental monitoring is now the videos. I think that's only been 6 months or a year. You can do videos. We found that we had so many patients falling through the cracks that are doing everything right. Because again, back to my other answer, we'd give people 6 months or a year's worth of trays. And if they're doing great and the artificial intelligence is just giving them all goes and green lights and they're kicking through it, it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, geez, it's 9 months and we haven't seen you. So now we mark in the chart if we're going to give them that many trays. Say we're going to give them 9 months worth of trays. We send them a check-in video, like at 3 months, 6 months, saying, hey, you're doing awesome. Every time it sends you to the next one, keep it up. You're doing great. It's a 10, 15 second video, but it builds that relationship. And we always try to put a face in that video that they've seen before and that they can relate to. And that's where I think it enhances the relationship, because whoever was taking care of them is still taking care of them.
My 100% favorite thing to teach now is the existing patient experience. So I kind of want to paint a picture for everybody as quick as I can here. You imagine if patient Joe buys Invisalign or whatever, how many different faces he sees and different communications and things like that. And then if you start having emergency appointments and, maybe brackets falling off, different type of model, whatever it may be, it's hard to ever relate things back to one assistant. And assistants are very hard to create bonus systems for as well. So the ortho coach model is, hey, we got Joe, he bought. He's going to be assigned to Susie, make-believe assistant name, right? Susie is going to be in charge of making sure he's compliant. He shows up to his appointments. Hygiene is scanning, going to be communicating with that patient. And what happens is a couple things. Susie ends up taking more control than she ever has before in your office because she's got a set of her own 30 patients, right? And you have visibility. Is that patient are they getting done in 18 months? Or are they going 6 months over? Or we have an emergency? You can tie a whole world that you can't tie now back to that one person. Is there an art? Is it hard to implement? Is there a process? Absolutely. But if they're seeing one face, like he's talking about, little selfie videos, checking in, it becomes so impactful to your practice, but also to the customer you serve. And amazing things happen whenever you assign an assistant to that patient.
And when the team is small, and that is a simple thing to accomplish for me at this point with three people. It's simple. When I had 16, 17 people, that's hard because they don't know who they saw or what's going on or where anybody is. When you have that small team, now we all kind of do everything. I mean, there's, you know, like Carla is a financial, has more financial expertise. She works more with OrthoFi. You know, China's more the clinical expertise and she does know more about dental monitoring. But we can all do everything. You're not just an assistant anymore. You're not just a receptionist and not even just a treatment coordinator anymore. It's changed. And actually today we worked on job descriptions a little bit because what I did 2 years ago is obsolete already.
Yeah. Well, was it 2 years ago we sat down with them? Is that when I was there
that's,
and we sat?
That's probably more like 4 years ago already.
Was it that long? Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, good for you that you're keep that. That's all. Hey, Steph, we have another question.
You got a follow up from Grant Duncan. Saying, as I say, he likes the idea, but or us at the cost of clinical staff. So do you have any metrics on how many Invisalign starts a year this staff member can treat or manage?
I look more at my dollars per FTE. And I don't know exactly how many they manage, but we're pushing $1 million per FTE. So not quite there, but I think we can do in a liner practice, you can do $1 million in production for each full-time employee. I really believe that. Now, there's a big technology fee with that and big lab costs with that. But we're doing whatever that would be. How many starts per million? If it's, I don't know, 200, 250-ish. So I'm guessing, Grant, I would say that, you know, each person probably takes care of about 200 or 250 starts a year.
Okay. And then Nathan had another one that they wanted to know, what are your business hours for patient time and digital monitoring, Invisalign ClinCheck time?
Yeah. See, and that was a huge evolution. I haven't taken homework home for at least a couple years now. It's all done in between patients. You know, I have plenty of time throughout the day, but you know, 5-6 years ago, yeah, I was taking home stacks of stuff on the weekend and at night. But we take very few phone calls. Even our exams, the majority of our exams contact us through text, email, and if it's a phone call, Right Chat takes that phone call. So our phones are not ringing. We check Rhinogram, the texts, and the dental monitoring. It's a little bit on the weekend. Somebody will start to check it for a half an hour and send back some things. We check it kind of till the end of the day. There's really no set hours, but we don't, you know, we're not checking it at 2 a.m. It's mainly during office hours and we still have an emergency. There's still an emergency number that comes to me. I think I've got 2 emergency calls in the last year and a half, that really weren't emergencies, but so no, we're pretty much during business hours. Now we get stuff done and we make that attempt to do that. But again, it was a process. As 5 years ago, I would have answered that very differently.
Yep. And that for again, for so many of you out there, you complain about the chaos, the stress, the, you know, the you're tired at the end of the day, you're bringing ClinChecks home. This industry likes to complain about it. And it's true, like that is somewhat of a nightmare. That's a miserable being. But there's a solution. But the solution is you go through the process and it's going to take time. If you want to not bring ClinChecks home with you, there is a way to do that. But running a, you know, a huge team, analog based practice, not outsourcing, you're not going to get there. It's like the lawyer, you know, that wants to make more money and work less. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if he hires an associate. So where the associate does the work, you know, if you're high braces and you got a huge team, the only way you're going to make more and work less is if you hire another doctor. That's it. But the outsource model, eventually you get to a point where you grow and you work less while doing it. And all the other crap that comes with the business, the other companies that you're outsourcing it to, they're the ones that have to deal with. I joke, all, you know, I go around teaching outsourcing for a living and reducing your headaches. Well, guess what? Now I'm stuck with the headaches. I've got the agents with right. I've got the big team that I tell you not to have. I mean, it is. And there's a lot of headaches. It's a lot of stress to keep it running at a high level. You got to care a lot. But there is a process to get there. All of you can get there. But you can't complain about the chaos and bringing ClinChecks home. You don't get to complain about that when you're unwilling to invest in good companies that can actually help move your needle forward. You can't do both. You know, if you choose not to do that, then you can't also complain about the chaos that goes on inside your business, inside your practice. That is your own business decisions and clinical that are causing that.
And the other thing, again, I'll say, like you said in the beginning, is the work that goes into it. And I don't know the nuances of like an OrthoFire. I don't know dental monitoring software, any of that stuff. I use it. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time learning how to move teeth with plastic. I've spent a lot of time. How do we interpret this dental monitoring scan? What should we worry about? What should we not worry about? So we still have to know how to work that tool. And if you don't know how to work the technology, you can outsource it to a technician that's not going to do it as well as you are. So there's still the work that goes into it that way.
One of my favorite lines, so Regina Blevins, I don't know if Regina's on tonight. If she is, hey, Regina. One of my favorite lines is when people come into her office and she says, we're doing this with Invisalign. And they say, well, the guy down the street said you couldn't do this with Invisalign. She says, well, they're right. They can't. We can. And here's why. And it's all about the CE. I've run into so many people that have heard Bob speak, have heard me speak, and they come up and they say braces get better results, or you can't do that case with aligners, whatever it may be. And I've had the very, I don't know how this has happened, but just from the John Whites to the Grant Duncans to the Bob Scopacks, Whitlock, Pascal, the list goes on, Regina, Boschkin, like the best of the best have trusted us, and it means the world. But I've been around some awesome orthodontists that all knock those cases out with aligners when the other guy says it can't be done. Talk a minute about just the commitment to the education in order to make this happen.
It's a huge commitment. And the story, and I won't take too long on the story, but years ago, I met a guy in Chicago. He was an older guy, phenomenal orthodontist. This guy was like an icon. I met him at a Panky meeting or something. I'm like, I want to be like him. He used speed brackets. If anybody remembers speed brackets, they were kind of the first self-ligating, you know, Fort Damon. So I'm like, I got to be like Dave. I'm going to use speed brackets. I couldn't straighten a tooth to save my life with those teeth, with those braces. I just couldn't. But he did phenomenal work with it because he knew how to use that tool. And it's any other tool. But the concept is, you know, the future of orthodontics, I think clear aligner orthodontics is going to go through the roof. People want clear aligners. So I think it's behooves us to learn how to straighten teeth with plastic because that's what people are going to want. It's been a pretty smooth journey since I've learned how to do that. But yes, you have to learn how to do that and pick your tool. And if you don't believe in clear aligners, and if you think, say, digital braces is the way to go, great. Pick that tool, become an expert at it, do your best work with it, do it most efficiently, do it most profitably. That's awesome. I just have always been enamored with clear aligners. I've always studied my ass off to learn how to move things with clear aligners. I've always watched people like Blevins do stuff and learn stuff from her and watched her webinars over and over. And that's my future.
Well, and what he just said is what we're trying to teach everybody is, again, the tool is up to you. It's the vision in your business model that must come first. And then you may decide Invisalign's not for you. And that's fine. I mean, I'm faculty for Invisalign and I'm still saying that's fine. I would never shove that down your throat if it's not going to help you achieve your business model. And before we get back to your slides there, I'm going to give everybody an exercise and write this down because I'm going to forget if I don't do this right now. I want you, it's an exercise we put everyone through. And on the surface, it's kind of simple. But when you really start writing things down, you realize it's actually kind of not. And there's not very many people that would put you through this exercise. Draw three columns on a piece of paper: life, career, business. All right. Now, the career piece is more for the employees, right? And the life and business is more for you. So life and career for the employees, life and business for you. And you've got to write down what you want out of all those, right? What do you want out of life? What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want? Are you a car guy and you want 8 cars? Or do you just want to travel? Whatever it is, be greedy. And then on the business side, write down everything you want to accomplish in the business. And then you've got to look at what in life is holding you back from accomplishing that in your business. You got to write that down. And then you also have to look at what in your business is keeping you from accomplishing what you want out of your life. And you will find there's a lot of times very big disconnects. And I'll tell you one we see all the time is the one that says, I want more freedom in my life. I want to spend more time with my grandkids and be on my boat more. And then you go over to the business and it says, I don't want to do aligners. I want to do more braces. And that's a perfect example of a disconnect because it cannot happen doing more braces. You are not going to get more freedom out of your life if you aren't willing to hire another doctor. And this is the disconnect in so many of your lives. And it's why life, career, business, they're paralleled, right? One interconnects with the other. Your employees' careers are shit. Well, guess what? They're not going to be very good and happy to help your business, right? They got life problems. Their career is going to suffer and your business is going to suffer. They're all intertwined, whether you like it or not. But you've got to define the vision, define what you want, and then go grab the tools that are going to help you get there. You want to pull your slides back up? Keep going.
I'm going to skip a bunch, but I want to make one more cool point out of that book. So let me find it. There's some very contrary principles in that book that really got my brain cooking. And okay, good. And one of them, no, this isn't it. Hang on, I gotta go forward.
That was a good one.
Okay, no, let's do this because we're running out of time. It talks about where you don't want to focus on your customers. You want to focus on your non-customers. And when I first read that, I'm thinking, you know, that's just dumb. I mean, everybody knows you treat your customers great. You have to focus on your customers. So to me, I read this the first time and I'm thinking, you know, it's dumb. You ignore your existing customers, take their money, do as little as you can do, and then you just go find more new customers. You know, don't worry about your existing ones. And that's absolutely not what it means. It's all about thinking about who's not coming into your business and why they're not coming into your business. So who's not coming to your practice and why are they not coming to your practice? And that was a pretty cool, profound thing that I got a lot of ideas from. Drinking a lot of bottles of bourbon on my patio, thinking, you know, why aren't these people coming? So when we developed Clearcut, you know, the untapped segment that we went after and the people that are not coming to us, and I say us as orthodontists, traditional orthodontists, you have those people sitting at home who is like, I want to fix my teeth. You know, I'm not getting braces on Invisalign. My dentist keeps bugging me to do it. But I don't trust them. They're a dentist. I heard this mail order stuff doesn't really work. They get confused. I don't know what to do. I'm not going to go see the orthodontist because they're going to put braces on. There's no way I'm doing that. And they just do nothing. They sit there and do nothing. And there are non-customers. They're the orthodontic customers that never come in to see us. So again, with Clearcut, we've tried to create that brand where we are orthodontic specialists who have chosen to micro-specialize in clear aligner orthodontics using Invisalign and using remote monitoring. And we want to get those people that are non-customers for the traditional orthodontic practice. And some of the actual comments now we've heard after a year, we've been open a little over a year, is back to your point about the guy down the street. I did my research. Figure if you can't do it with Invisalign, nobody can, because that's our brand. We are the expert in Invisalign. If you come into Clearcut, there's no braces in this building. There's no braces in this building. You are going to get Invisalign.
That's called being known for something.
Exactly. It's the brand. I mean, we get, you know, it's interesting because dentists are starting to become one of our bigger referral sources for this indirectly, because people are coming in and say, my dentist's been bugging me to do this and they want to do this, but I don't trust them. I'm coming to you. I don't trust them. And it's weird. There's a general practice 200 yards up the road with Invisalign stickers all over the windows. We're starting to see their patients every week because they keep trying to sell it and trying to push it. And you should do Invisalign. Let me do Invisalign on it. So they come to us. They don't think the dentist is qualified, and they're not even sure who's responsible. You get a lot of this mail order now, the remote orthodontic associates, you know, all this other stuff. People want to know who's treating them. There's a whole segment out there that says, I want to know my doc. I want to know who's doing this stuff, but I'm just getting Invisalign. I'm not getting braces. And that's, I think, a very, very untapped market segment for orthodontics. It's 100%. And I don't think the orthodontic practices that are 50-50 are ever going to get that.
Agreed.
People are doing the research on their phone now, and they're not going to get that. So that's what we're hearing out of Clearcut. And I think the whole non-customer concept is very interesting. And it's very, it can change your business a lot if you think of it that way.
100%. And just to clarify, because we're going to wrap it up here in just a minute, but there's a couple more topics I want to hit on. Just to clarify, and he brought this up, but I want to bring it up again. You know, that book is not telling you to treat your customers like crap. And unfortunately, that's how most companies, right? You call the 800 number, nobody answers, but they sure as hell answer when you hit the sales prompt. Most companies treat their customers like crap because they're so obsessed with sales. Right. This is all about how do you refine and create an existing patient experience unlike any other to create raging superfans so they go out and become your sales force, meanwhile allowing you more time to work on your business, to go out and do the things he just said, create a business model that's unique, go after a customer that's never going to go to anybody. And they're always saying next year, which, by the way, a lot of you do this with your business. You want to do new marketing. You want to train your team. You want to become a leader. And it's always, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it down the road. Like, you just got to jump into this stuff and instead of putting it off. And I want to talk about two more things. I'm going to put you on the spot with one of them here in a minute. But let's hit on, you have the slides. I think this is very important for everybody to understand, because I know a lot of people that immediately think, how the hell do you ever afford the lab bill, right? Or, you know, I've got to get the lab fee as a down payment. So they'll require $1,800 down or $1,500, thinking that's somehow going to help. And I want to talk about the open choice concept with OrthoFi and how that allows. So Carla's this TC. Hi, Carla. How it allows Carla to just remove herself. Because look, we all have bias, right? When I present money, there's a way I like to buy in my personal life. That bias is going to come into my presentation. Carla's the same way. Every other treatment coordinator and human on the planet is the same way. And treatment coordinators drive down your cash flow. And also requiring a certain amount down drives down your cash flow. There's all kinds of reasons we can't dive into tonight, but explain how that open choice has made a difference in the down payment cash flow part of your practice.
Here's the thing with open choice is you put the patient in control, the customer in control of what they're going to pay. No matter what they pick, they then own it. And if they own it, chances are they're going to pay it, and chances are it's something they can do. Now, our down payment has gone up. I think it was 20% since last year, just allowing people to pick whatever they want. And we don't require them to do that half down or do that lab fee down. And again, I honestly don't know the guardrails. Oliver always talks about the guardrails and gives me all this, you know, MBA financial stuff that goes in one ear and out the other. No offense, Oliver. But it works. I mean, you put them in control, let them do what they want to do. I think that increases your starts. You know, our conversions are somewhere mid 80s, you know, so we have pretty good start percentage. We're not going to start 100, but we have pretty good start percentage. And the down payment is about 1.5 times what my Invisalign lab bill is. So I have no problem doing what we're doing.
And what he's talking about to everybody is not about being cheap. There's a way to be $6,000-$7,000 when the other three opinions are $4,000 and $5,000. But if you extend out, you know, 8 months, or you let the patient choose how far out to a certain extent they want to pick, your monthly now becomes more affordable than what those other practices are requiring. It's not about the total all the time. It's about fitting it into the family's monthly budget. And that does not mean going cheap. Go ahead.
If you have wowed them in that exam, then the total price does not matter as long as they can make it affordable. So it starts with that whole experience with the exam, right? From the first contact point.
Wow, you are speaking my language. You know that. I mean, what he just said is a 3-day seminar, everybody, but I'm just going to say it flat out. You know, the Ritz-Carlton requires 250 hours of training before anyone's allowed to speak on the phone or in person to a customer. I would challenge all of you, when is the last time you really trained your hourly employees on verbiage present from real experts in those things, not inside your bubble, from real experts that would be hired by the Ritz, and installed that into your world? And when you do that, amazing things happen. And Steph and B. Lewis, hold up 1 second for the question. I'm gonna because this is a Right Chat webinar. I want to talk, and this is a perfect transition point, because you talked about the experience inside the doors, which a lot of you think about, right? That's a big, we got to train the TC, our patient experience has got to be good. But what you forget about is what happens before they come through the doors. And I want you to give me your perspective and how it's been with the concierge model you now have up front, and letting my company Right Chat answer your new patient calls. Talk us through that, on how that's helped reduce the no-shows, increase the paperwork being filled out. Just it changes the whole flow once they do come in through the door.
Well, the whole flow from the first touch point, part of it's OrthoFi, because again, OrthoFi onboards with the health history, all the insurance, yep. So all that's done. And again, we used to have receptionists up front answering phones all day. We either one of two things, either you guys take the call, And I love when you guys take the call, because first of all, they don't know who we are yet. They have not met us. See, that experience I will outsource. I will not outsource the monitoring experience once they know us. Because once they know us, I want to increase that relationship. But they don't know us. You're making a great initial contact. You're taking your time. You know, you're edifying us. You're edifying Orthodontics. You're telling them what we do. You're giving them a great phone call before they even meet us, which is phenomenal. The other way they come in again is text or email. Now, that's awesome for us, because then we call them back when we have enough time. And then we do a phone call like Right Chat does, because we have the time. It's not the upfront, answering the phone quick, two people standing in line, rush it, write them down. So the whole experience of that first call, when it's not rushed, when it's educational, when it gives a lot of information, I mean, that's huge to get them pre-sold basically before they come through the door.
And that's the key, is pre-selling people. It's pre-suasion. And I'm just going to shout this out, because for those of you who know me out there, I don't go around, you know, being Mr. Salesy, but the call, when our agents answer it, is going to be even more personable than when your own, because that's a concern of people, is that you do not lose and you actually gain the whole personability and personalization. And it sounds literally like you're sitting at that front desk. It's a huge piece. When you outsource, you can't lose the relationships, right? So a lot of people are afraid of that. And there's a way to do it and actually enhance the relationships, just like the communication part of DM we were talking about earlier. But you've got to pick the tools that match your vision. That is a huge, huge thing you all need to take away from this, and then create the time by outsourcing. How many hours do you spend a week just getting to work on your business, meeting with the team, role-playing, creating new things?
Oh, us? Oh, yeah. I would bet we spend 25% of our work hours working on the business, not working on patients, not doing the tasks. Today we did it. We couple hours, we sat there and I call it basically just bullshitting, but it's more brainstorming. And, you know, how is this going to work? What can we do with this? How can this get better? So we probably spend, I would say, a quarter of the time I pay people to be here, we're working on the business, not just doing the tasks.
And this is why, everybody, you cannot say OrthoFi, Right Chat, Nupi. You can't say these companies are expensive. These are not costs. These are investments to make them do the work so you can work on your business and grow it. If you're stuck in the 8-to-5 chaotic situation, there is a reason, and it's because you won't invest. You look at that as the same thing as a cost, and they're two completely different things that we can talk about. Actually, I talked about it in the last episode of the New Patient Group podcast in 2022, and it's how your accountant is sabotaging your success. So check that one out. Steph, B. Lewis, we have a question?
Yeah, this is kind of... we have two questions. They're kind of related, so I'm just going to ask them, you know, both here. First of all, great comments from everybody so far. They're really enjoying it. So again, thank you for everybody being on. Debbie, some excellent and genuine content. For Clearcut Ortho, how many annual treatment starts and what's your total in-house staff? And then also, is Clearcut profitable yet?
Clearcut is profitable. And it's an interesting, it's built from the ground up to be 100% clear aligners. My fixed costs are minimal. I need 1.5 starts a month to cover my nut. Literally, my build out of Clearcut was about what my plumbing cost me in Scopec Orthodontics during my build out. So the fixed costs are so ridiculously low because, again, there's no braces. We have one working chair to place and remove attachments. I will work it with one or two people generally. Now, sometimes there's more here if we're, again, meeting or brainstorming. Monday, Madison and I were in by ourselves, two of us, just her. We came in for about 1.5 hours, did 2 starts, and then they went home and she did dental monitoring and rhinogram. So 1.5 hours, we started 2 people and we went home. So it is profitable because the fixed costs are so low. The projection this year is we should be about $500,000 in revenue this year, which is our second full year.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
And everybody, just before the follow-up question, B. Lewis, you know, everyone starts a practice differently, blah, blah, blah. If you need guidance, you know, from an A to Z, if this type of business model intrigues you, get off your hump and hire somebody. Whether it's new patients, a big part of what New Patient Group does is walk you through this to where you can come out on the other side. If it's somebody else, it's somebody else. But start somewhere and get help. The smartest people in the room say, I need help. And oftentimes in this industry, you're scared to ask for the help. And I get it. You were the best in school. You were best in dental school. You're a badass in orthodontic school. Like, I get it. But billionaires, 75% of them dropped out of college or never went. And the number one trait of a billionaire, the smartest business people on the planet, is they have a coach. So if a billionaire has a coach, why don't you, is my question. It's okay to ask for help, to get guidance, to walk you through this journey. It's okay.
And if I can add to that, and if I can plug one thing just a little bit, it's as orthodontists, there's more and more of us coming together. I had this conversation with John this morning. We were talking about, so anybody is heading down this road or is heavy in aligners, heavy in Invisalign, wants to go this way, looking to figure it out, you know, get a hold of us. I mean, we're all looking to get together and share ideas and make this better because we're all just kind of figuring it out as we go. This is new kind of weird stuff. So yes, on that vein of getting help, you know, contact some of the big Invisalign providers like myself or Blevins or White or any of those guys, because we all want to get together and we all want to start sharing ideas.
Awesome. You guys have a follow-up question?
No, that's all we got. If you guys want to wrap it up, there you go. Take it from here. But again, thank you guys all so much. This has been awesome. Really enjoy the candid conversation, and I appreciate you guys, you know, blocking out the time to do this with us. This has been great.
Yes. Thank you guys.
Thanks for coming on, man. Thank you. Not that we don't talk enough.
Yeah.
I mean,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was good seeing your face.
Awesome. Yeah. Cheers.
You know, here's that the location he's in. I remember going in there because we were, would we go to four or five different places on the location?
Yeah.
And then he doesn't invite me back once he opens. What's that all about?
You know, the doors are open, you know where I live. You know,
I'm just going to walk in there and surprise
Carlo. Everybody says that. I get more people saying, I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come do that. I mean, Blevins is always telling me she's going to come look at the office. If she's on, you got to come look at the damn
She place. Says that to me, too. She never comes. It's okay. But hey, everyone, the family members out there, customers, really appreciate it. The Right Chat, New Patient Group customers, everyone that took the time to hop on. Look, you know, pick your vision. If you need help finding a vision, I can help you with that. We can help you with that. Somebody can help you with that. So don't sit around. Find the vision. Define what you want out of your life, career, and business. Run your employees through that as well. One of my favorite things to do is help the employees. You know, a lot of times hourly employees can get stuck in their career, maxed out. That's a crappy place to be, and it absolutely will affect the way your business functions. Love doing that kind of life stuff with the employees, but do something, you know, pick a pain point and outsource it. Do something, get off your bun buns and go do it. Thanks for being a part of our first fireside chat, everybody. And we look forward to seeing you again. Hey, everybody, Brian Wright here. Hope you enjoyed that fireside chat with Dr. Bob Skopak and myself. We've been together for many years now, working on different marketing and business fronts with his practice, and so proud of his success. And look, whatever issues you have out there, chaos, stress, cash flow, conversion, new patients, culture, whatever it may be, those are all fixable problems. But you've got to remember, like we talked about, stick to that vision. If you don't have one, you've got to come up with one. We can help you with that. But then you've got to train the team. You've got to have your digital marketing pieces. You've got to have all these things in place to allow you to carry out that outsource model that reduces the chaos. All right. But take action, find some companies that will help you. They're out there. New Patient Group and Right Chat, both my companies, we can help OrthoFi, which thanks again for sponsoring. And remember what that offer from OrthoFi is $3,500, $3,500 off your onboarding fee, your onboarding investment, if you will. And you're also going to get 1 month free of Right Chat. So we'll onboard you month one, and then we're going to answer your new patient calls as your backup so you can test out that service and then decide if you want to move forward with it with Right Chat. And then also we're going to give you a full online digital marketing audit with my other company, New Patient Group. And we look forward, that's an amazing offer because that's an incredible savings to say the least. But again, start somewhere. You've got to find an outsource partner that can start plugging these holes, okay? And you only have yourself to blame if you complain about the leaks, you complain about the problems, but you don't go invest. And it is an investment. It's not a cost. Those are two different things. Go and invest in the right companies to help you. And OrthoFi, New Patient Group, and Right Chat, all three, we look forward to you coming aboard. And there's so many different ways we can help you. All right. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for joining. We'll talk to everybody soon. Bye-bye.